right. Go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. And thank Pastor Lou for allowing me to preach. And I know he makes me preach so he can sit with his wife. So I'm glad I can be a blessing to him, and hopefully you learn something. Galatians chapter 4 in your Bibles, please. Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 here, it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And I want to look at that phrase, "but when the fullness of the time was come." Now, most, if not all of us, have purchased something online, right? We purchased something online and we've waited for it. And I remember it was the year 2020 and I had bought a washing machine from Home Depot. And this washing machine was, you know, had to travel pretty far to us and my wife and I. And as we're waiting for this washing machine, you know, I'm checking the status updates. And that's when there were a bunch of riots in a bunch of different cities, all right? And I'm not going to go into that, but there were a bunch of riots. And, you know, there was a lot of things going on. And I'm just checking my phone, checking it, and it says that it stopped in a certain city. I'm thinking, okay. Waiting for this washing machine. I sort of need this washing machine, all right? I can't wash my clothes until I get it. And so I'm thinking, hey, I need this washing machine. I don't want to have to keep on going to my parents' house and washing my clothes there, right? It's just kind of weird. I'd rather wash my clothes at my house, all right? But I'm waiting for this, and it keeps saying that it was stalled, that there was a pause, and then it says, lost in transit. I think, what happened? All right, there's a riot going on in that city. Maybe they, you know, opened the box. You know, maybe they took my washing machine. All right, and then we had to wait for another washing machine to come. Right. I want to talk about God's timing. God's timing. When I saw the message lost in transit, I thought, "What? How did you lose it?" All right, I get there's things going on, but how did you lose a washing machine? All right, it's kind of hard to lose. It's pretty big. The frustration is immense. And I think in many of our own lives, many of us are in a waiting period, right? We're waiting for a new job, or we're waiting for a spouse, right? We're waiting for a child to get saved. We're waiting for something to happen in our lives. We're waiting. And I think the older you get, the more you ought to realize, friend, that much of life is spent waiting. But we live in a immediate culture, right? We go to McDonald's and I want my burger by the time I get to that window. Yeah, I get on the internet and it better not be slow. I better have some fast blazing internet so I can look up what I need to look up. I can get done what I need to get done. But much of life is spent waiting. And so often that's a picture of many of us, our walk with God. We pray for the spouse. We pray for the health. We pray for the job. We pray for the salvation of our child. We pray for the prodigal child to come back. And now we're left there waiting. And we think, what am I doing? God, am I wasting my time? I don't know about you, but many times when I'm waiting for something to happen, I feel like I'm wasting my time. To me, I feel like I've always got to be doing something. I always have to be productive. If I'm not productive, then I'm not fulfilling my purpose in life. There's a common Christian saying, it goes, God is rarely early, but he's never late. And while that may be true, it barely scratches the surface. I want us to go deeper into that. And I want us to understand right here, friend, right now, is that waiting is not God's inactivity, but it is His intention. It is His intention. The key text here is Galatians chapter 4, verses 4. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Notice the words, the fullness of time. You see, friend, God operates on a perfect divine schedule. God is never late, nor is He early. He arrives precisely when He means to. And just as He had a perfect time for Jesus to come, He has a perfect time for you and I. You see, if Jesus had come a little bit earlier or a little bit later, then the gospel would not have spread as it did. Right? Because if you look a little bit earlier, guess what? The Romans road, and I'm not talking about, you know, the Bible Romans road. I'm talking about the road that the Romans made. It wasn't done yet. Right? Greek wasn't the lingua franca of the earth. What does lingua franca mean? It's like English, right? Everyone uses it. The common language of the day. And so Greek wasn't the lingua franca or the common language of the day. The Romans road wasn't built, so the disciples couldn't get up to the UK. They couldn't get over to Germania. They couldn't get to Asia. They couldn't get to all these places they need to go until the time that Jesus came. And so when the fullness of time was come, so in God's perfect time, guess what? It was accomplished. And you and I think that if we're waiting, if we're patient, then we're wasting our time. Well, God, why don't you just see my family member say, well, God, why don't you just take away this health problem? Well, God, why don't you just do this right now? Why don't you just provide for me right now? Why don't you just give me a job right now? Why don't you just give me a better church right now, or whatever it might be? But God, it's not an inactivity, friend. It's His intention. Point number one here, friend. I want us to look at some misconceptions of God's waiting room. The misconceptions of God's waiting room. Have you ever been in a waiting room? Right? The older we get, the more waiting rooms we're in, right? Now, Pastor Lou, he's been in plenty of waiting rooms. All right, he has a ton of kids, so I can't imagine that. I almost passed out when I was waiting for my wife to deliver our sons. But we know the older we get, the more hardships we're going to experience, the more waiting rooms, metaphorically and literally speaking, that we're going to be going through. Will it be good news or will it be bad news? Either way, we must wait for an answer. But before we can understand what waiting is, we have to unlearn what it is not. Many of us are stuck because we still believe lies about God's silence. Number one here, friend, waiting is not inactivity, it's preparation. Waiting is not inactivity, it's preparation. We see a pause and we think that nothing is happening. God sees a pause and knows that everything is happening. That God is working behind the scenes. The soil of our hearts are being tilled. Look at Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. He has a dream that he will rule, but he spends the next 13 years in a pit and in Potiphar's house and then in prison. And we think, and guess what? 13 years is just a guesstimate, all right? That's not an accurate number of how long he might have waited. And so Joseph is spending all this time waiting, waiting, waiting. He has a dream that he'll rule. But next thing you know, he's thrown in a pit. What did he learn from the pit? What did Joseph learn from the pit? Well, the pit taught him humility. Now, for any of us here, if Joseph was our brother, we wouldn't like him. Joseph is a picture of Jesus. Joseph was a goody two-shoes. Joseph was a snitch. Hey, Dad, don't you know? Hey, your sons, my brothers, they're out there in the field. They're not doing what they ought to be doing. And that's why he got thrown in the pit. Hey, man, I had some cousins. Let me tell you, they were goody two-shoes. They were snitches. Guess what? We roughed them up. Shut up. Hey, don't tell Mom and Dad what we're doing. All right. Now, I feel bad about that now, but at the time, I didn't. You see, Joseph's time in the pit, in Potiphar's house, and in prison, they were not wasted. It was not wasted. That was God's university for Joseph. The pit taught him humility. Potiphar's house taught him integrity and character when no one was looking. The prison taught him administration and compassion. You see, Joseph wasn't ready to run a nation at the young age of 17, but after he went through these different trials and waiting and all these different things, when he went through God's university, guess what? Then he was ready for God's blessing. But let me say this, you cannot receive God's blessing until you've received God's teaching. You cannot do great things in your life until you have been made great. Right? The Bible talks about the refiner's fire. It talks about removing dross from the silver and from the gold. And guess what, friend? God wants us to be pure silver. He wants us to be pure gold. But many of us, let me say this, friend, when we're going through the kiln, when we're going through the refiner's fire, you know what we like to do? We like to hop out. Oh, it's too hot in here, God. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, God, this fire is too uncomfortable. And let me say this, friend, this is where most Christians fail. As somebody who grew up in a pastor's home, as somebody who went to Bible college and had positions of leadership there, as somebody who's been a pastor, let me tell you this. This is where most people, most Christians fail. They don't fail when times are hard necessarily. They don't fail when times are good necessarily. But most of them fail when they're waiting. And I can't tell you how many people I've had come to me. Brother Seth, Pastor Suri, I just feel like I ought to be doing something great in my life. I feel like I'm not being maximized to my full potential. I feel like God's not using me. And I say, well, just wait. Just be faithful, because God's trying to prepare you. He's preparing you for something great. And many times, not all the time, but many times, eventually trials would come, problems would come, and they're still waiting, and they're still waiting, and they're still waiting, and they think, oh, why do I have these trials? Why do I have these problems? Why is God allowing these things to happen in my life? And I would tell them, God is trying to get you to be faithful. He that is faithful in little is faithful in much. He that is unfaithful in little is unfaithful also in much. Friend, do not expect God to use you in a great way. Do not expect to realize God's great plan for your life if you're unfaithful. But now, what ought we to be faithful in? Well, let me say this. We ought to be faithful in the little things. Bible reading, prayer, going to church on Sunday. Guess what? All those are little things. Those are not great sacrifices. My parents, they used to say this all the time. I think Pastor Lou mentioned this on Thursday. He said, children, we don't have to go to church. We get to go to church. And guess what? My parents would ask us after every service, what did you learn from Daddy's preaching today? Or tonight, or whatever. I don't know. I was counting the lights on the ceiling. But it's not some great sacrifice, friend. It's not too much for God to ask you to read your Bible, to pray. Now, how much you do of that is up to you, right? But it's not too much for God to ask you to fellowship with other believers. It's not too much for God to ask you to give. You see, Paul waited in a desert place. After he got the scales removed from his eyes, he said, you know what? There was a lot of talk in all these different churches. There was Peter, and there was all the other disciples, and everyone had a way of doing things. They had a method of doing things in the church, and I didn't want to get caught up in all that. So what did Paul do? He went to the desert. He went to a desert place, and he said, all I did was seek God. God, what do you want me to believe? God, what do you want me to do? And it was in that period of waiting that God prepared Paul to be one of the greatest Christians we've ever seen. David waited in the sheepfold, did he not? And as he was in the sheepfold, guarding a bunch of smelly, stupid sheep. Do you really think it's fun to guard sheep all day, friend? Now, I don't know if you've ever had the displeasure of working with sheep, but it's pretty foul, all right? They're pretty dumb. And yet, they're also some of the most loving animals. It wasn't fun for David to be in the sheepfold. It wasn't fun for him to kill a lion, to kill a bear. Guess what? It wasn't fun for David in his time of waiting to be an outcast. That wasn't fun. Hey, the shepherd boy who was not very impressive. If you and I looked at David, we'd think, who is this runt? Who is this squirt? Hey, there's no way God can use him great. And as Samuel went from son to son to son, he said, oh, surely this is the man that God wants to rule Israel. And God said, no, not him. No, not him. No, not him. Samuel, stop. It's not him. And he anoints David to be king. And guess what? David spent much of his life after that on the run. He wasn't great. But God was preparing for him something great. My encouragement to you, friend, is to wait on God's timing. Another lie that we believe besides waiting is not inactivity, it's preparation, all right? Waiting is about preparation. Number two, friend, delay is not denial, it's for a greater display. Sometimes God waits so that when He does move, His power is put on display in a way that would have been impossible if He had answered sooner. Now, let me ask you this, friend. If you and I are believers in Christ, if we truly want others to be saved, then wouldn't we want God to do something great in our lives when the maximum amount of people could see it? Yeah. I want people to see how great God is in my life so that they know that there's a God in Israel. That there's a God in my life. That, hey, God still works today. In John chapter 11, verses 4, it says that Jesus hears that his friend Lazarus is sick. And they say, oh, Jesus, your friend, your disciple, he's sick. You better go heal him. But what does it say that Jesus did? It said, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days in the same place where he was. He waited on purpose. Now, we would look at that, we say, Jesus, you're mean. Jesus, you're cruel. Why would you let that man languish in bed for 2 more days? He's sick. He's going to die. But the delay was for greater glory. You see, your situation, friend, might look dead and buried. You might think the time for a simple healing is past. You may think that it's never going to work out. That job's never going to come. The spouse is never going to come. The child is never going to come back. Or whatever it might be, it'll never work out. But God may be getting you to wait. God may be setting up the stage for a resurrection that will leave no doubt that He alone did it. You see, we ought not doubt that God loves us. We ought not doubt that He doesn't care about our hurts, about our problems. You see, Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus, but He had a greater plan. So number one, we see the misconceptions of God's waiting room. Number two here, we see the purpose in the process. The purpose in the process. You see, waiting has a way of exposing our hearts. Waiting has a way of exposing our intentions. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no." You see, the 40-year delay in the wilderness was not just about getting to the promised land. It was not just about getting rid of the rebellious generation that never truly believed in God. The 40 years in the wilderness was a time that God was trying to prove or test if His people, if His children would actually be obedient. I wonder, are you obedient in the waiting times? Are you obedient in the waiting times? Or do you just think, well, you know what? God hasn't shown up yet, so I might as well just do what I want. I might as well just give in to this lust, give in to this desire. I might as well just not be faithful to this situation or to that person or to this church because it hasn't worked out yet, so what makes me think it's going to work out? God is trying to test you. Let's say a father promises his son a car for his 16th birthday. Now, my dad never did that, but you know, maybe you can do that. But during the waiting, the son becomes rebellious, disobedient, and entitled. Does the father still give him the keys to the car at his 16th birthday? No. Why? Because the son hasn't proven that he can be faithful yet, that he can be responsible, that he's mature enough to take on that responsibility. You see, we may be waiting for God to give us something good, and God hasn't given it to us yet because we've proven we have a track record of rebelliousness. We may not have proven that God can trust us with that responsibility. Next year, God's timing protects us from ourselves. You see, maybe once again we do want something good. But if we got it too soon, it may destroy us. If we got it too soon, it might destroy us. Think of King David in 1 Samuel chapter 16. He's anointed king, but he doesn't take the throne over for a decade after that. He spends years running from Saul, sleeping in caves and leading a band of misfits. Hey, sleeping in a cave isn't a great time, right? If you read the Psalms, you can read what David writes as he's sleeping in the cave. You know what? When you're sleeping in a cave, there's wild animals out in the wilderness and they're hungry. You got bears and you've got lions and all these different animals that are looking for food too. Do you think it was really fun for David to be in a cave with a bunch of wild animals looking for food? And he can hear Saul's men looking for him. I don't know about you, but if I was in David's position, I would think God had abandoned me. Well, God, I guess I was never really destined to be king because I'm here in a cave. You see, if God had made David king at the age of 17 when he was anointed, you know what he would have done? He would have ended up just like Saul. Too proud, too foolish. Too insecure. You see, God's slowness was His mercy. God's slowness was a part of His plan. We would never give a toddler a sharp knife, even if they cry for it, right? Hey, just because my sons want something, and many times it's a pair of scissors, right? Yeah, scissor. I don't go, oh my goodness. They're crying. I guess I better just give them some scissors. My wife and I, we like sushi. Our boys can't have sushi right now because one of them has, I forget what it's called. It's like S pies or whatever. So we have to wait to give them shellfish. But they really want sushi. Sushi. What if I gave it to them when they're not ready? Well, guess what? They would throw up because they have F pies. They can't handle that shellfish yet. And many times, friend, we cry out to God when we're in a time of waiting. Oh, I want a spouse, or I want a job, or I want this and I want that. And many times it is over wants. Sometimes it's over needs. Oh, I need this. I need it right now. But if God gave it to us, we'd throw up. We couldn't handle it. And so, friend, God's slowness is His mercy. Number three here, we see the perspective from eternity. You see, to truly find peace in waiting, we must lift our eyes from our watches, our timetable, my calendar, and my expectations, and look to God. Look to His calendar. Look to His timetable. God's slowness is His mercy to the world. You see, our waiting is often connected to a much bigger redemptive story. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Friend, you know what I've noticed in many older Christians? I can't wait till God comes back and judges this world. Amen. I'm so sick of the sin. I'm so sick of living in this world. I remember when I first started dating my wife, Her parents asked me, Seth, do you watch prophecy updates? No. I'm just trying to get married, amen? God, don't come back until after I get married, amen? And I have a few kids, okay? I've had Christians say to me, well, Seth, aren't you concerned about the Muslims coming in this country and how they're taking over our towns? No. You want to know why? Because that's the next mission field, amen? Oh, come on now, can I get an amen? That's the next mission field! Amen! Come on, what's the point of living here if we're not supposed to reach souls for Christ? That's the whole point. Hey, I long for heaven just as much as any other person, but I know that while I'm here, guess what? I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. Next year, waiting is an act of discipleship. Waiting is an act of discipleship, not a passive delay. Now, I hope that many of you or most of you have been discipled before. All right? What is discipleship? Well, it's sort of like apprenticeship. It's somebody who's older, who's been around longer, has been a Christian longer. It's someone like that taking their arm, putting around you and say, hey, just like they did with Apollos, hey, he was a great preacher. But he didn't know the whole story of Scripture. And he needed somebody to come, put their arm around him, say, hey, let me give you the full picture. Hey, let's open the Word of God and let's rightly divide the Word of truth. Let's disciple you so you know you can discern between truth and error. What does rightly divide mean in the Word of God? Rightly divide the Word of truth. It means to cut it straight. You see, many times if a Christian hasn't been discipled is that they take the Bible and they can be so easily confused by things in the Word of God, and then you've got these parasites like the Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. Pastor Lou, you know this. Seventh-day Adventists too. As soon as you see somebody saved, guess what? The Seventh-day Adventists show up at their door the next day. I cannot tell you how many times that's happened. They're parasites. They're motivated by Satan. They just show up as soon as you see somebody saved. It's like, this can be nothing but demonic. This can be nothing but demonic. And they say, oh, we want to disciple you. We want to give you a Bible study. And these young Christians are drawn away by this errant doctrine. These errant beliefs. And so what am I trying to say, friend? Waiting is an act of discipleship. You see, in our time of waiting, don't ask God, why am I waiting? Why am I waiting? Ask God, who are you trying to make me? Who are you trying to make me, God? What is your plan in all this? God, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss your plan for my life. I don't want to mess this up. Ask God, who do you want me to be? Think of a farmer after he plants a seed. What do you got to do when you plant a garden or you have a farm and you plant seeds? You got to wait. Yes, of course, you've got to weed. And you've got to water. And you've got to fertilize. And so what are you doing? You're not just waiting. You're also working. You're working. Serve where you are. Obey the last thing God told you to do. God hasn't left you. God's not done with you. But God is proving you. He's testing you. He's discipling you. God, many times we think, oh, I'm just waiting on God. Let me say this. It's also God is waiting on us. What are you going to do? Are you going to be faithful? Are you going to obey me? Now, many times growing up, I was homeschooled. Don't hold it against me, okay? But many times my dad would give me a list of things to do before he came back home. And he'd give me a long list. So many things to do. I want you to do this. Okay, long list. When I get home, it better be all done. Let me say this. That's exactly what God does for you and I. He's already given us a list of things to do. Hey, we know, read our Bible, pray. Hey, get discipled. If you need counsel, go to the pastor. Go to a Christian counselor. Go to a Christian therapist. Whatever you need, do that. Find fellowship in believers. Go to church. Pray, read your Bible. All these different things, friend. Obey what He told you. And as we obey, and as we continue on in His Word, and being faithful in church, faithful in giving, faithful in sharing the gospel, guess what? God will reveal His plan. But many times it's done in a period of waiting. You see, if Paul had just gone out right away after he got saved, he's on fire for God. And he would just go out. All right, Peter, all the disciples, let's do this. Then he wouldn't be the man that we know today. If David had just been the king right away, it would never have worked out. If Joseph had not been thrown in the pit to Potiphar's house, to prison, he would never have saved all of Egypt and his family. You see, God is working in your heart, in your life right now. And pray, Lord, help me to be who You want me to be. In this time of waiting, if I'm waiting for a spouse, if I'm waiting for a job, if I'm waiting for a lawsuit, or if I'm waiting for whatever it might be, God, help me to wait. Help me to be patient. Help me not to get lost in all the fuzz and the mud and all the different things that seek to distract me from what You're doing in my life, but rather, God, help me to hone in and focus on You. This is a time of testing. As I said before, friend, this is where most Christians fail. David was waiting for God to make him king. And while he was waiting, what did he do? He ran away. He said, there is nothing better for me to do than to escape the hand of Saul. But he gave up on his dream. He gave up on the dream God gave him. He said, you know what? Saul's going to kill me one day. I've spared his life so many times. I've been so kind. I've been so nice. I married his daughter. I did all these things for him and for God. You know what? It's done. It's over. I'm leaving. And he ran away. And it took God taking away his family and having to chase after the Amalekites to get David back where he should be. And old friend, let me say this. Do not allow yourself to get to a point where God has to bring something into your life to force you back on the path. Just wait. Just wait. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. God, I thank for today. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to wait on Your timing. To not allow impatience to consume us, to not get to the point where we think we know what's best, but that we would take this as a time of rest, as a time of active discipleship, because God, we know that when You're ready to go, You're ready to go. And like the children of Israel, to have those sandals on our feet, like the armor of God, to have the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, God, I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to wait. To take this time to practice patience. To realize that You have a great plan for us. That You're not done with us. That there's a dream that You've given every single one of us. But in order to get to the dream, we have to wait. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.